Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
But Jesus is meeting with the disciples for the Last Supper. And what did he do when the supper was over? Oh my, he not only just washed their feet, he took off his outer garments and was there in the place. He looked like a servant. You think that was just a little act? Hey, I'm really somebody, but I'm just going to act real humble here. No, I believe there was a genuine place that God had ordained for his son to take that was meant to be a model for you and me. My God, if he did that, should we not serve one another in love? Is that not the message of that passage? In whatever form that takes. Yes, it needs correction sometimes, but I'll tell you, the essence of that passage is that we are servants one to another. And it's not something persona we take on when it fits, and the rest of the time we're proud. That's right. It's something where we genuinely see, by divine revelation, who and what we are and what God's place is for us. Because I'll tell you, if you're trying to be humble and you're trying to be a Christian at the same time, it's hard. It's exhausting. Why? Because we're not doing it God's way. This is not his yoke. We're not taking his yoke, because his yoke was genuinely, this is my place before my Father. I am here not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Praise God. There was nothing phony about it. It was absolutely in the heart and the will, expression of the will of God. Of course, he talked to the disciples. You remember that one time they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest? Well, what was his message to them? He that wants to be the greatest, let him be the servant of all. You want to be great by my measurement. I'll tell you what I value above everything else. I value somebody who's not seeking for himself. He's seeking for my glory. He's seeking for the welfare of somebody else. That's my nature coming out through him. That's what I value. And here's Jesus taking that place. And I don't believe he's sitting there on the inside saying, "My God, I hate this. I'm somebody. I shouldn't have to do this. This is ridiculous." How many of you think he was doing that? See, it was a genuine thing. He understood the heart and the plan and the will of God and willingly stepped into a role that is incredible, because he really was somebody. My God, if anybody had the place, had a reason to act some differently than what he was, this is the guy. This is the one. But yet he came all the way down to our level. And modeled the way to come to a place of rest in the Lord. Praise God. Why did he have rest? He wasn't sitting there struggling against God. Well, another aspect of the yoke that he had was one of dependence. And oh, we love that. Oh, how we love, I'm afraid, because of the nature with which we were born, we love to feel like we can do stuff. Lord, just tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm halfway down the road already. Just tell me what to do, and I can do it. That's the yoke of religion, folks. There's a place for instruction as to what to do, but if we don't get the simple fact that we can do nothing without him, then life is going to be one long struggle, one long experience of frustration and unrest. Yeah, I mean, the Lord's dealing with me about a lot of this. I mean, I've got a lifetime of stuff to unlearn. I grew up in church. I grew up knowing and hearing a lot of these things. And my God, I can spout them. I know the concepts and I agree with them and all of that, but that's not how I think and how I react. And God is seeking to change me, and I believe he wants to change every one of us. How many of you think the Lord just really is excited when we're struggling and striving and trying to be better people? No, that's not his way. That's not the salvation that he has provided. Oh my God, that's exhausting. And I just thank God. But to think about the Son of God willingly taking that place where he could say with a straight face, I can of my own self do nothing. Oh, how easy it is for us to think about the Son of God multiplying the loaves, walking on the water, raising the dead, and say, oh, sure, that's the Son of God. He can do anything. He could do nothing except the Father who lived in him was doing his work. And so Jesus was simply presenting himself to the Father and saying, Lord, my life is not about me, nor do I have any power within myself to fulfill your will and your purpose for my being here. I have nothing to offer, but I offer myself. And so I have willingly, I just want to walk in harmony with you. Just show me what to do. Empower me to do it as you show me, and I'll do it. You know, I was sitting there a few minutes ago, and this is not on my list here, but I seem to remember where, if I can remember this, quote the scripture, but we're saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. So we didn't even get the faith, right, except from him. Right. Everything comes from him. Right. Think we'll ever get that? Amen. Saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Why? So no one can boast, but we are created. I better read this a couple of pages over anyway. It's Ephesians 2. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I was sitting there this morning saying, Lord, this place, this what we're doing this morning has already happened. You're sitting there looking at me. In the will and the heart of a timeless God who lives in eternity, everything that is unfolding in our lives has already happened. All we have to do is step into it and say, God, work it out. Let me participate in what you have already prepared for me to do. That's what Jesus did. Was he not crucified from the foundation of the world? You see how God is outside of time, has prepared so many things that we're just simply stepping into and participating in. It's amazing when you start to think about it. It kind of blows your mind a little bit. But I believe God wants us to kind of begin to get this and begin to have him, allow him to change the way we look at our lives. My God, we struggle and strive as though I've got to do this some way, somehow. Oh God, how could you ask me to do this? I can't do it. That's the point. He's not asking us to come up with the resources to do anything just to say, Lord, this is why I was created. You have allowed me to participate in that which is eternal, to step out of that which will perish and to step into something that you have prepared before the foundation of the world that can never, never be done away with. It's eternal. Praise God for what he's set before us. Jesus understood these things. He said, what I've done, you did before the foundation of the world. Now I get to step into it. You wonder why he could do what he did with confidence? It's not just that God can do it, it's that he's already done it. What did he say about what he's done for us? Whom he called? He justified? Whom he justified? How many of you are glorified? Well, in one sense, yes. But I mean, experientially, we're not there yet. But yet he puts that in the past tense. My God, what God has called us to is incredible. Oh, how we strive to do what he's already done instead of stepping into it and believing it and entering into it. God, I hope Phil's listening to this. He's going to need this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day. But it's real, and God wants to, the only way we're going to learn it is to hear it and drink it and begin to believe it and act like it really is true. Is it not what the Word says? Yeah, we go by our own feelings and our own inclinations and our own ignorance and so all these other things instead of really, really living by the Word. We acknowledge it, but we don't live by it. God's bringing us to where we can have more rest in our souls. Anybody want that? Anybody a candidate for more of that? Yeah. You think Jesus was going around wringing his hands, oh my God, how is this going to work out? Lord, why did they say that? Why do you let this happen? Why this? Why? No, there was this perfect rest. He lived in this place of rest. And his rest was not based upon, well, I know I can do anything, so I don't have to worry. His rest was based upon the fact I'm here in my Father's plan. And every resource that I could possibly need to fulfill his purpose for my being here, it's there. I just look to him. Of course, that unfolds some of the other characteristics, but this sense of trust, of course, we know what I've quoted many, many times, the scripture in John chapter 14 where Jesus said, you know, he that's seen me has seen the Father. The words I speak are not of myself. The Father who lives in me is doing his work. So that's the whole dynamic of the kingdom of God. It's God in us doing his work, but allowing us to participate in it and reap the rewards for doing that. Wow. Of course, we don't want that. We want to somehow get in there and put our two cents in and get some credit. Instead of just relaxing and letting the Lord do his thing. Praise God. Well, and of course, another characteristic of the yoke that Jesus wore was one of obedience. He wasn't here to do his own thing, was he? And, you know, one scripture that really bears on this is in Hebrews chapter 5, I believe. Yeah, there it is. It's one we've pulled out a number of times. And beginning in verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Now think about that. Think about the picture of somebody who does not have what they need in themselves. You ever feel like that? God, I just don't have what it takes. Well, Jesus didn't either. That was the place of humility and humiliation that he willingly took in order to show us what it means to actually live for God. He was the model. He took the yoke that the Father had designed for him. But it was a yoke of obedience, and that's what he's getting to here. Loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. So his purpose in praying was, God, make this stuff go away. I'm tired. I'm annoyed by people. Oh, God, just fix me. Fix up my circumstances so I won't be so annoyed. It was, Lord, I need your strength. I realize that the course you have set me on, the place you have put me in, is the place of your design. And rather than removing and fixing the circumstances, empower me to to occupy my place, to absolutely be able to yield myself to you and obey you in this, because I don't have what it takes, Lord. Okay?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.